The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou, and welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says an estimated 1.4 million people worldwide are infected with hepatitis. The virus inflames the liver and leads to acute and chronic disease. It is transmitted through contaminated food and water, infected blood and body fluids. The WHO recently urged African governments to tackle hepatitis with awareness, prevention, screening, and treatment programs. Joining us from Geneva, Switzerland, to discuss the subject is Dr. Stefan Wichter, team leader of the WHO's Global Hepatitis Program. Dr. Wichter, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Also joining us for the discussion is Dr. Vivian Mendonza. He's regional director for Market Access Hospital and Specialty Care, Eastern Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Dr. Mendonza, welcome to the show, and you are with Merck, indeed.
Thank you so much. Yes, you're
yes.
Right.
Okay. And on the line with us is Theobald Owusu-Ansa from Accra, Ghana. He's president of the Theobald Hepatitis B Foundation and regional board member of the World Hepatitis Alliance. Mr. Owusu-Ansa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So I think we will have a great discussion here, gentlemen. First of all, let me remind our listeners that if you would like to participate in the show with your questions or comments, call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts and questions at healthchat@voanews.com. We will discuss hepatitis in a moment, but first, here is a report by Voice of America's Jessica Berman.
There are close to 200 million people around the world who are infected with hepatitis C, or HCV, a viral disease that can be transmitted through contaminated blood transfusions. The chronic debilitating liver infection, which causes fatigue and muscle aches and jaundice, is a major risk factor for developing hepatocellular carcinoma, the most common form of liver cancer worldwide. Now, Danish researchers have found evidence that HCV patients who receive antiviral therapy not only have less inflammation, but are also at significantly lower risk of developing liver cancer. The researchers say patients who managed to keep the virus at bay with interferon drugs for 6 months were virtually cured, and the chances of a relapse and the development of cancer were very small. Patients who cleared hepatitis C virus had an 85% lower risk of developing liver cancer. In a group of 1,174 patients who received no antiviral interferon treatment, 129 patients developed liver cancer. In a similar-sized group of patients who were treated, only 81 developed liver cancer, equivalent to a reduction in cancer risk of 47%. Both groups were monitored for between 5 and 8 years. Nina Kiemer, a gastroenterologist at Copenhagen University, led the study. She says those who took the drugs but did not have a robust response also had a lower risk of developing cancer.
We're not the first study to show this, but our findings definitely support this hypothesis that the non-responders to treatment are also protected when they are treated.
Kiemer says the study's findings suggest early detection and treatment of hepatitis C is very important.
If people come into hospital with stomach aches, we do not just conclude that one thing. We try out many options. So the disease is diagnosed earlier.
Hepatitis C can lead to cancer by causing cirrhosis and scarring of the liver. A study on the effectiveness of hepatitis C treatments in reducing liver cancer risk is published in the journal BMJ Open Editions. I'm Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
And gentlemen, welcome to the program. Dr. Victor, let me start with you. We heard this report that talks about research to develop new treatment. What can you tell us in terms of the available treatments that are out there to address hepatitis?
Thanks. The treatment of hepatitis C is really undergoing a revolution right now, and it's something, one of the major advances in medical treatment, comparable to, I think, what we saw with HIV in the mid-90s. Currently, the treatment is complicated, it's expensive, it requires weekly injections and a daily oral dose for about six months, and it causes a lot of side effects. It does result in a cure, as was mentioned in the report. Between 40 and 60% of people are actually cured of the disease completely. The virus is gone. Mm-hmm. And so the things like liver cancer and cirrhosis, the risk diminishes a lot. What's happening now is new drugs are coming out where we expect in another year to 5 years, it'll be all oral, no more injections, a shorter treatment, 12 to 24 weeks, and a much higher cure rate. Up to 90% of people is expected will be cured of this infection. So it really will change completely the dynamic. To date, not many countries have taken up the treatment for a number of reasons. Cost is one of them. I think the complexity of the treatment is another. When we pass to these new drugs, which are, as I said, shorter in duration, safer, mm-hmm. less toxic, and easier to take, and a much higher success rate, I think that'll really change the conversation. And we hope that all relevant persons, international organizations, civil society, and the pharmaceutical companies will sort of answer the challenge of how do we make these new drugs available to people who need them most in low-income countries.
And when we talk about hepatitis, we say hepatitis in general, but earlier you mentioned hepatitis C. There is more than one type of hepatitis. Yes, Can you break it down for us, please?
Yeah, that's what makes, when we talk about hepatitis, it's difficult to get a clear message across because it's complicated. There's really five different viruses that cause viral hepatitis. So viral hepatitis just means infection and inflammation of the liver. So you get yellow or yellow eyes, or if you're a Caucasian, your skin turns yellow, and you feel terrible. But most people are cured of it. I mean, sort of get better on their own. But with two of the viruses, hepatitis B and C, you can have chronic infection. That means it stays with you your whole life. And then 10 to 30 years after you got infected, you can develop cancer. So that's B and C. And the other two main are A and E, which are transmitted by contaminated food or water. They do not cause chronic infection. They cause just acute. So you can see it's really complicated. Different routes of transmission, water and food contamination for A and E, blood and through body fluids, including sexual intercourse for B and C. So there's vaccines for A and B, but not for the other. So it's a difficult message to get across. But I think the main points are that we have seen terrific successes with hepatitis B through the use of vaccination in the first year of life. Now, almost all countries in the world recommend for all children to be vaccinated for hepatitis B. And a number of countries have shown a much lower rate of hepatitis B, and we anticipate in the future a much lower rate of cancer. Now, we have, unfortunately, there's hundreds of millions of people who already have the infection, chronic infection, who are at risk of developing cancer and cirrhosis, and those are the ones that we need to see how to get them diagnosed, how to get them to care, and how to get them treated. So a lot of things to sort of get right.
Absolutely. Getting right is definitely the challenge there. And let me come to you, Dr. Mendonza. Tell us about how Merck is trying to get it right.
Thank you so much. Merck basically believes that we need to have a partnership approach to this terrible disease of public health importance. The most important thing is that we need to create awareness around the fact that there is a significant burden and unmet need and access to care for patients who are suffering from this terrible disease. And now, as Dr. Victor has mentioned, there has been significant strides being made in terms of treatment availability. But it's unfortunate that people are not getting this treatment despite the fact that these options are available. We are working together in formulating something wherein we want to have all our stakeholders to come to the table and have a concrete plan of action for Africa, especially in Africa. The aim we want, what we want to do for this is that we want to have patient groups, we want to have civil societies, we want to have international donor organizations, agencies, Ministry of Health, and our treating physicians, policymakers, all to come together and formulate a pan-Africa kind of a program which will help reach out to these infected people. And thereby create significant impact in terms of having people being cured. Luckily for hepatitis C per se, we have treatment and it is curable, like Dr. Stephen Victor just mentioned. So we want to make sure that our medication is reaching out to these large number of people who are in need of these medicines.
I will interject here for a second. When you mentioned that that you are trying to make sure that patients have access to treatment, and you said patients are not getting treatment. Is it because of the cost, which is perhaps something that pharmaceutical companies play a key role in this, or is it access to the availability of these treatments on the ground, or those who live in remote areas are not able to reach them? What do you see as the main issue here?
Price is one thing in this whole overall spectrum of issues which plague us with regards to public health issues. The most important thing is we need to have a consolidated plan. I mean, you can give a drug free, but keep in mind there are so many other issues which need to be planned. We need to have sustained screening. We need to make sure that doctors are trained so that they can take up this huge burden. We need to make sure that there are enough testing facilities available in countries. We need to have a sustainable program in place. And all this is possible only when you have all the stakeholders coming together. Sure. So price is one thing. And definitely what happens is when all these come together and there is a need to kind of treat a large group of people, the prices automatically drop down. So while price does play a role right now, but our aim right now is to kind of get this group together so that we can reach out. Okay. I mean, last year our CEO also made a statement that our product should be reaching out to 80% of the people who need these medications, and this is what we are striving to achieve through our initiative in Africa.
Okay, and hepatitis in Africa, a call for action is perhaps one of the initiatives?
Sure. The need for the initiative itself, the Hepatitis in Africa Call for Action, is basically something aimed exactly at what I just spoke. So what we want to do is we want to have a transformation here. Mm-hmm. We want to leverage on strengths of local communities through partnerships. We want to build strong, accountable health policies with institutions. We want to mobilize domestic international resources, whatever is available, to help with this social transformation. And for this, in this regard, we have selected 16 countries to run this program, which have high prevalence and also which have significant strides or interest from government level to kind of partner with us.
Okay, and now let's get the country's perspective. Mr. Owusu Ansah,
can I come in?
Sure.
I want to greet Mr. Dr. Vivian. Dr. Vivian, good evening from Ghana.
Yes. Hello. Dr. Vivian.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to talk about the price. I was listening to Dr. Vivian. The MLD is doing well when it comes to policy like helping hepatitis patients in Africa. But I think it's not enough when it comes to the price. The price of the treatment is very expensive here in Africa. Let me take, for example, a civil servant working in Ghana here is receiving... his take home is 1,000 Ghana cedis. That's $1,000 a month, and you are spending about $500 a month on treatment. And also, the person also have a family they have to take care of. So, when it comes to the price of treatment, most of the patients are not able to afford the price because the treatment is very expensive. So I will appeal to Dr. Vivian to also look at the price and also the availability of the drugs to Africa. When you go to most of the African countries, you will see...
Hello, Theobald, are you there? I think we've had a little issue there, but we'll make sure he gets back with us. Dr. Vivian, did you want to react? I know you addressed this a little bit earlier, but let me have your reaction.
No, sure. I mean, I completely agree with what Theobald just mentioned. Unfortunately, we are still not largely present in Africa. We are just starting out in Africa, and that's why we're putting up this partnership approach. Currently, as Theobald rightly mentioned, we are into the private market, and this is why we want to get governments engaged, because when governments procure, they procure in large numbers, and our aim is to get this price down, because when the government starts taking up this initiative, when the government starts taking up ownership, when the donors will start getting interested in coming to support the initiatives, we want to put all this together, not only to make our products accessible to people, and this will also thereby get down the price, and this is where we want to go.
Okay. Dr. Wichter, let me have your reaction on this very specific issue of cost or access to treatment. Now, Theobald mentioned earlier that an example, a person that makes $1,000 a month has to spend about $500 for treatment. Does WHO have any leverage at all to help in addressing the cost of drugs?
It does. I think the best example is with HIV, where it was a very similar situation. The drugs were very expensive, unavailable. And then by bringing together partners, the different partners, by bringing donors, by working with governments, the demand increased, and then the pharmaceutical companies lowered the prices. So I think we can follow that model. I think Dr. Mendoza is right. Part of the problem is that governments really are not fully aware of how serious the problem is. Now, we recently released a report on the WHO hepatitis policy report, which canvassed countries and showed that less than half have a national hepatitis control program or a plan even. And so really, it's really underappreciated as how serious it is. It's 1.4 million persons estimated die every year throughout the world from it, which is a similar number as HIV, yet hepatitis gets much less attention, much less investment. So it's all coming together, and I think that's the role we hope that WHO will play, and we're starting to work in that direction, is to bring together the relevant stakeholders so that we can assure a certain market to the pharmaceutical companies to buy, and hopefully there'll be donors ready to invest in scaling up these programs, which really don't exist.
Okay.
People are not being tested. As was mentioned, healthcare workers don't really know how to treat persons with hepatitis. So price is important, but a lot of other factors are important also.
Absolutely. Okay, Dr. Wichter and Dr. Mendoza, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Theobald back. A very short break, and we will continue this discussion. We have some questions coming in. Don't go away.
The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Malaria stops footballers from scoring and children from learning. Join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Join with leaders like President Kikwete.
United, we can beat malaria.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic is hepatitis. Joining us via phone from Geneva, Switzerland, is Dr. Stefan Wichter with the World Health Organization. Also from Switzerland, Geneva, is Dr. Vivian Mendoza with Merck. And from Ghana, Accra, is Theobald Owusu-Ansa with the Theobald Hepatitis B Foundation. Now, before we went to break, Theobald, I think we lost you there for a second. So I would like to come back to you. You talked about the issue of drug. Let me have you finish your thought. We already discussed the issue of cost. Let me have your thoughts on another issue that I think you were trying to mention. Another issue. Go ahead.
Yes, I was trying to also to mention availability of the drugs in Africa here, because most of the people are not, let me say, the doctors in Africa here, most of them doesn't have knowledge about hepatitis treatment. So they just pray around it. When you go to hospital, they just pray around it. And most of the people even also treat hepatitis as malaria patient because the symptoms are the same. So I will advise Dr. Vivian, or I will suggest, if Dr. Vivian can also increase the knowledge, you can also organize program for the doctors here in Africa, because hepatitis treatment, I'm talking as a patient too, because I'm also a patient, so I'm talking as a patient. And a lot of people are going through a lot of problems because of the availability of the drug and the treatment too, and also the lack of knowledge between the doctors. So I'll suggest to Dr. Vivian, if they can also organize program, refresh a program for doctors how to treat somebody with hepatitis, okay. Because as I told you, most of the doctors treat hepatitis B patients as malaria cases because the symptoms are the same.
That's a very, very important point he's making, Dr. Mendoza, training the trainer.
Sure. Now, again, this goes back to the point I was making earlier, that we need to take a consolidated effort. Now, like in Nigeria, for example, there are a good number of doctors who are treating hepatitis in the community. I go back to a country like Cameroon, where when I was there, I just found that there were 21 doctors who were able to treat hepatitis. Now, we are interested and we are definitely supportive of having this transformation being bought in, but at the same time, it requires a significant commitment from various quarters. We need support on the ground we need to identify which areas would first need to be targeted. Number two, we need to know which doctors need to be trained. We need to understand how is the mechanism of screening going to take place. Today, there are so many people who are going around on World Hepatitis Day screening people as part of the project or part of their local initiatives on saying that we will be screening people. But what happens to those people once they're screened? In a way, we are creating more harm because we are passing information to people that they're positive, but there's nothing being done about it.
Yes.
Now, Merck wants to step in here and say we want to take a holistic view, not just on one aspect of treatment. So we are willing and we are investing significantly. Number one, so our first aim, like Dr. Stephen Victor just mentioned, is to first create this sense of awareness among important stakeholders to saying that, yes, there is a problem with hepatitis C. Once we create this awareness, the next step we want to move into is saying, okay, now how do we address it? With Hepatitis in Africa, Call for Action, we want to put up an action plan which is related to each country. We cannot just put a generic plan because every country is at a different level of understanding the disease, is at a different level or different playing field. So we want to put a customized action plan driven by the local experts,
okay.
Driven by patients, driven by policymakers, which will be sustainable. We want them to create national task forces, which will then direct and help us identify what needs to be done.
Okay.
And I hope I can. This answers Theobald's
okay.
question.
Okay. And Theobald, I think in his answer, I also see the role that someone like you can play. People on the ground level can also play when we look at partnership.
Okay. When it comes to partnership, also Dr. Vivian, I've been meeting Dr. Vivian two times. One in Nigeria and one in Amsterdam. And we were talking about how the patient group can partner with the pharmaceutical company as they already started here in Africa. And I know MSD is interested in the patient because, let me use this word, Dr. Vivian always said, patients are always the first. When it comes to the four Ps, patients are always the first. So
okay.
The patient group, as a patient, I'm also a patient, and
okay.
as a patient and also the and leader of the patient, I think that the partnership with the pharmaceutical company, let me say MSD, will bring hepatitis to the level where HIV and malaria are.
Okay.
Because when it comes to hepatitis, the medication, everything, like HIV patients are getting it free. In hepatitis, you have to pay for it.
And that's a good point, Theobald. I will interject there. That's a good point. And I think I will come to you, Dr. Victor. We do have a caller who want to ask a question. After him, Dr. Victor, I have a question for you from one of our listeners. So, Patrick, welcome to Health Chat.
Good evening, Doctor. Doctor, I want to find out from you. This hepatitis we are talking for the past 13 years. Sometimes you see somebody, after taking this vaccine, this hepatitis vaccine, not of a sudden you see his eyes or her eyes start turning to yellow. Are we saying that the vaccine did not work, or the person had it before taking the vaccine? And in Arochukwu, in my place, there are a lot of supplements. People see this GN, this, and the rest. People will be serving it as tea every morning. They say if you take one cup every morning, 50 naira, that all this sickness will not come your way. I don't know how truthful is this thing they are selling to us every day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick, for your question. Dr. Victor, let me come to you with this question.
I think the first part of the question was that if some people would get the vaccine and then despite that get sick, I think it's
dangerous to
over. As I said, there's different types of hepatitis. And so the vaccine that is given to children is for hepatitis B. And hepatitis A is almost all children or different ages will eventually get it. So that's probably what happens. There's a number of infections other than viral hepatitis that cause somebody to become yellow and have fever. And malaria was mentioned as one of them. So it's the vaccine is very effective against hepatitis B, but other things cause jaundice. As to the other question, I mean, we at WHO do not endorse the use of any specific products, and I think we try to be evidence based. And the problem with a lot of the herbal supplements and other traditional medicines is that there's no evidence to show in sort of the formal way that we look at these things that these they work. So I can't say specific. I don't know anything about a specific product, but there's no evidence in the sense of a clinical trial that shows that these things work to prevent from people from getting hepatitis.
Okay.
But we can't prevent it through vaccination, through making sure when you go to a hospital or clinic that you get when you get an injection, get one if you need it, and that the healthcare worker opens up a new syringe so that you don't get infected in that way. That the blood, get a blood transfusion to make sure that it was tested for hepatitis B and C. So there's definitely ways to prevent from getting hepatitis.
Okay. Now, Simon from Sierra Leone would like to know, he says, if hepatitis is as contagious as HIV/AIDS, why isn't there as much awareness as HIV? Dr. Victor.
Yeah, that's a very good, important point. And I think one of the reasons is that we call it the silent epidemic because most people will get infected early in their life. And they don't have any symptoms. Some people get jaundiced, they turn yellow and are sick, but a lot of people don't have any symptoms at all. And then the liver cancer and the cirrhosis don't come until when they're 30 or 40 or 50 years of age. So during that whole time, they're infected, but there's no signs of it. So it's not as dramatic as HIV, where people would get infected and then they would develop these terrible diseases. So I think it's that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that it's complicated. There's different viruses and this and that. But I think the awareness is growing. It was another important point, which hasn't been mentioned, is that we don't have a lot of data to show how bad the problem is.
Okay.
We come up with these estimates, 1.4 million deaths, but really those are just estimates. And we really need, at each country, we need to do the surveys in order to show politicians and other decision leaders, here's how many people have the infection. X percent of them will end up dying from cirrhosis. This is a bigger problem than you realize. So that's one of the main reasons, is that decision leaders and health authorities don't really know how bad it is because we haven't really invested in doing the proper kind of surveillance.
And we're running out of time, and quickly I will take a word from you, gentlemen. Tilbert, let me start with you very quickly in 10 seconds. If you had a message, whether it's to WHO, if Dr. Victor is here, or Dr. Mendoza, Merck, or just in general with regards to your challenge on the ground, what would you say?
Yeah, what I will say is that, as a patient, most of the patients go through a lot of challenges, like social and economic challenge, when they are trying to seek proper medication or treatment for the disease, like the sexual activity, stigmatization, difficulty in accessing medical care, low self-esteem, and the belief. And also there's a belief in Africa here, and also the stress the person will go through, and breastfeeding, a whole lot of things.
Okay.
So I would advise WHO
quickly
to bring hepatitis at the level they have raised malaria and TB and HIV too. Because
okay.
they can talk to Global Fund to okay. also support hepatitis. And also, I also appeal to pharmaceutical company because without the patient, your
okay,
doctor,
table.
Nobody will buy the drug. It's the patient
who is
the final
consumer. That's all the time
consumer.
We have, unfortunately.
So I will advise the
thank
the
you so much.
To also partner with the patient.
Sure, thank you so much,
so
Theobald. Dr. Victor and Dr. Vivian, thank you both for joining us. Theobald, thank you so much for your message. We appreciate your time. For more on the show, log on to voanews.com/healthchat. I'm your host, Lenore Mundo in Washington, with producer Jackson Vongani. Thank you.